losers' mortgages.
Not allowed to send emails.
This is Bird Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant.
That would be me.
At fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America, discussing complicated financial fraud made very simple. The complexity is staggering. Who could invent such a fast shuffle, such a bizarre shell game?
God can do anything except understand financial instruments, composed by J.P. Morgan Chase.
I dropped out of calculus way, way back in my college days. My professor mumbled at a bewildered class. But that was not my core problem. I discovered that higher math was an area of study not subject to midnight cramming. The double helix of Wall Street molecular DNA is too much like calculus for me. Imagine simple transactions sliced and diced in a chop-o-matic, combined in bits and pieces, then put through a paper shredder, then remixed again. The sheer complexity of a Rubik's Cube of documentation went to game theory and calculus. The entire multidimensional puzzle was so to unsuspecting investors.
Sleight of hand seems like an easy task for high-level talent.
For those of us of ordinary vision, exacting accountability becomes almost impossible. We watch through a glass darkly, vaguely certain that the game is fixed, not certain about how. The man behind the curtain shifts in and out of quantum-level parallels like magic. Most citizens, conservative, liberal, Tea Party radical, feminist, Republican, Democratic, libertarian, apathetic, and activist join together in glassy-eyed brotherhood at the mechanics of high-level fraud. At the height of the crisis, at the maximum level of pain, I remember marveling at the ironies. Hired guns yelled on television against any form of help to those they called economic losers.
The bus drivers, construction workers, teachers, middle-class commuters were those losers.
Lost jobs, lost savings, lost homes were what we were told they deserved.
Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages, or would we like to at least buy cars and buy houses in foreclosure and give them to people that might have a chance to actually prosper down the road, and reward people that could carry the water instead of drink the water.
Hey, Rick,
that's a novel idea.
Hey, Rick, did you...
What? Who thought of that?
That was Rick Santelli, former hedge fund manager, on television on February 19th, 2009.
The cheers in the background were stock traders on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The huge bailouts were provided to their employers. Voters were enraged at tales of high rollers, the constructors of huge, complex financial bundles, receiving massive bonuses in the aftermath of those bailouts. A recent interview by Matt Taibbi began a new cycle. Understanding still eludes us when it comes to the complexities of Wall Street fraud, but clarity has begun nibbling at the edges. Elaine Fleishman has been in Rolling Stone magazine. She's been on television. She's been at the heart of the largest settlement ever imposed on a financial institution.
She witnessed wrongdoing and now tells us about it.
What is striking about her presentation is the way she keeps away from the edges of mind-numbing financial technical ease. She intersperses her explanations with telling vignettes. The specialized mechanics of corruption do not tell the layperson as much as descriptions of the smoke-filled dens in which they occurred. What does it for me comes in the form of a 10-second story during an interview with the Huffington Post. A new diligence manager was placed by the company to carry out a new institutional policy. In an overview department required to keep careful policies clearly set in writing, writing itself suddenly was prohibited. Ms. Fleshman describes the growing, hazy atmosphere of fraud as those pressured to approve bad loans were screamed at for infractions of a new policy of cover-up.
We were actually not allowed to send emails. So the supervisor who was pushing all of these loans through not only wouldn't send emails himself, but we weren't allowed to send them to him.
That was Elaine Fleshman, interviewed November 7th, 2014.
I don't quite get all the mechanics of highly complex financial fraud, but I understand what it means when perpetrators get shifty, dodging paper trails while looking over their shoulders. I understand threatening shouts about avoiding record-keeping and tracking. I understand ducking away from regulators, and I understand proportion. Record-breaking fines compared with record-breaking rip-offs. We should not punish bank robbers with with stern scoldings while we snatched cigarettes from their pockets, leaving them with only the big bags of money they have taken. I think I understand, because I still share it, the frustrated fury of fellow citizens at reformers who seemed resigned at rescuing those whose toppling would have plunged the rest of us into a bone-grinding poverty. Many of us are still hurting. Many others are in a slow decline. The anger remains not so much about too big to fail as about too big for jail.
Too big for torches and pitchforks. The old joke about Republican campaign appeals is this: Obama didn't cure cancer, so I'm going to vote for cancer.
The anger at Democratic politicians has not been about curing cancer. It's been about patting cancer on the head and telling it not to be so deadly anymore. It's not hard to see why so many of my fellow citizens stayed home, even if it meant leaving it to others to vote cancer back in. This is Burr Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America.